I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
In the news this morning, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware rank among the best states to work remotely. While the number of remote workers have been shrinking locally and nationally, telework opportunities still exist. In Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and especially Delaware, conditions are favorable for those who work from home. A new report by personal finance company WalletHub ranked all 50 states and Washington, D.C. from best to worst for remote workers. The number one spot went to Delaware, with Jersey ranking fifth and Pennsylvania in seventh place. Would you guys like to guess who was in last place or best places to work remotely from?
I'm going
to
say a red state. I'll go Florida or Texas.
Greg?
I was going to say Florida.
Wrong. Alaska.
Oh.
Alaska's the worst place
it
to work
says
remotely?
Yes.
Meaning, because it's dark half of the year?
It's maybe you need to get out and see people because you're not doing that really anyways.
Uh-huh.
So.
Interesting.
Don't work from home in Alaska.
So do we consider this a good thing or bad thing that our listening area is the best for work from home?
It tells me that we have weak leadership in this area. Bosses are allowing it.
Yeah.
That was my first takeaway when you sent that story last night in our group text. I'm like, there's too many soft managers that are permitting this to happen.
Maybe because they want to work from home too.
And even if I allowed it as a boss, I would make you feel guilty and uncomfortable for taking the advantage of it.
Mm.
To the point where I basically guilt you to coming back in. I'd be a terrible brand manager.
I was just going
to
say that.
I don't want to work for you.
You have no idea how this works.
I know. You're right. I would either be like the greatest brand manager because I've got like the 30 shares because I demand excellence, or I'd be fired in 6 weeks and be an HR nightmare.
Yeah.
One of the two.
There's no in between.
No.
A body found in shallow basement grave after fire in West Philadelphia. Investigators say a body was found bound and in a shallow grave in the basement of a house in a Philadelphia home that caught fire on Thursday night. Deputy Commissioner Frank Venore said the body has not been identified yet and police are unsure exactly how the man died. The first responders were called to a home on the 2200 block of South Street around 7 p.m. for reports of a fire. Firefighters found a body in the basement of the home and removed it after extinguishing the fire.
Oh, God.
What a gem to find a body in the basement.
Yeah, wow. That's got to be awful. Yeah. Bad enough to have to fight fires, and then you got to deal with corpses. I don't deal with corpses well. We talked about the pallbearer story last week. The whole thing just... Yeah.
I think we have another corpse story coming up, if you know what I'm referring to.
Yeah, this is really...
This is disturbing.
Yeah.
I have a hot take on this that no one will like.
It's better you than Greg. Greg's taken enough bullets this week in the YouTube chat.
It's true, I have. Coming up in the cut sheet, we have a disturbed New York City man who may have taken advantage of a dead body.
And lastly, a man, 45, shoots a 13-year-old, then flees following a fistfight. Is it in King Sessing? Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. Officials say a 45-year-old man shot a 13-year-old child who was fighting with another juvenile on his property. The man then fled the scene while the child is in critical condition in the hospital. Police responded to 57th and King Sessing Thursday evening, just after 6:30.
We have a lot of bad streets in this city.
I got it. I'm learning that.
Bizarre names. Bizarre.
Due to a reported fight between two kids, within minutes, police got a call about a shooting on the 800 block of 56th Street. Responding officers were met at the address by a 13-year-old who had been shot in the stomach. But he is expected to survive.
45-year-old.
Classy.
Then he
shooting
left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Probably a career-oriented individual.
Do we have a description of the individual, Sana?
No.
Okay.
Thanks for asking, though.
Yeah.
He's the head of a local bank here.
Maybe it's exactly what you expect.
Just curious if there's a description. When there's not a description, you know the description.
Family man.
I know it, but I can't say it.
Exactly.
Active in his community.
Yeah. I'm sure he was a scholar.
Yes. Teachers still adore him to this day.
Yep. Right. And Kale and Company News Live for the 6 a.m. hour.
Thank you very much, Anna. All right, 6:10 Friday morning. Let's wrap up the week with one last big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by First Bank. The SAVE Act, one big beautiful bill, and one big mouth that can maybe save the Democrat Party. It was a good day on the Hill for Republicans on Thursday, and the Democrats continued to show you warped logic. The GOP with victories as they move closer to ensuring even more voting integrity in American elections, as well as Donald Trump's one big beautiful bill that will include tax breaks. Meanwhile, the Democrats continue to spout off irrational, incoherent, and irresponsible rhetoric as the party continues to have what looks like open auditions for who can lead the left moving forward, when in reality, none of these current politicians, outside of the most quiet one, has a shot. But that doesn't mean that an outsider can't crash the party. More on that coming up in a few minutes. But let's start with the SAVE Act, which passed the U.S. House, requiring U.S. citizenship be proven in order to register to vote. I know, such a radical idea, right? The final vote was 220 to 208, with actually four Democrats joining Republicans. But 208 Democrats did not. Why? Well, it's very simple. They want illegals to vote. In a country where proving your identity and your status is required to rent a home, buy alcohol and tobacco, purchase certain medicines over the counter, open a bank account, board a plane, adopt a pet, enter a casino, get a tattoo, donate blood, get food stamps, and countless other instances in everyday life, the left is okay with not needing ID to vote. Here's Rep. Nakima Williams, Democrat from Georgia, making absolutely no sense. Listen and watch.
In Georgia, over half of the population doesn't have a passport, and our driver's licenses, even the real ID, doesn't prove citizenship. This bill could force Georgians to pay more than $700 million just to register to vote. Y'all, that's a poll tax, plain and simple, and it's blatant voter suppression. Voter suppression by any other name.
Mr. Speaker.
To steal a word from her, y'all lives in Georgia and around the country are in the super minority with this ridiculous position. According to a 2024 Gallup survey leading up to the election this past November, 84% of respondents favor requiring photo ID to vote, and 83% support requiring proof of citizenship when registering to vote, for the first time. But keep on grifting. Here's Rep. Brian Steele, Republican from Wisconsin, with the easiest layup rebuttal to Ms. Williams. Listen and watch.
Mr. Speaker, I view that as insane. We should be making sure that only U.S. citizens are voting in U.S. elections. You'll hear arguments about it's burdensome. Mr. Speaker, I think it's absurd that we're protecting beer more than we're protecting ballots. You have to show a photo ID when you go in to buy a six-pack of beer. You should have to go in and show that you're a U.S. citizen when you register to vote. It's just that simple. And I remind my colleagues that we had this debate in this chamber last Congress. Five Democrats joined us in voting for this bill. Well, in a few moments, we'll be voting, Mr. Speaker. It'll be darn interesting to see how many Democrats have the courage to come across the line and say, yes, only U.S. citizens should vote in U.S. elections. My colleagues should support this bill, and I yield back.
All time for
46 out of 47 European nations require proof of citizenship to vote. Yet in America, only 36 out of 50 American states require it. The math makes us look like a joke on the voting integrity stage. Next up, Trump's one big beautiful bill, which secured a major victory with the House, despite some GOP pushback. According to Mike Johnson, the budget resolution will reportedly pave the way for $1.5 trillion in savings. The vote came in at 216 to 214, with two Republicans, including Kentucky's Thomas Massey, voting nay. With that would come $1 trillion in tax cuts, per Axios. And from one big beautiful bill to one big mouth. No, that is not Jasmine Crockett, despite her daily attempts to be the loudest, dumbest human in politics. I'm talking about someone who actually has a chance, in my opinion, in 2028, if he decides to run. And that would be ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Now, I know many of you are going to scoff at the notion that this talking head on TV can't win, but I have plenty of reasons to believe he would have a legit chance if he officially enters the race. Here's why. Donald Trump was a political outsider. And in 2016, at one point in time, leading up to the election, Donald Trump was given a 2% chance to beat Hillary Clinton. Let me repeat that. A 2% chance to upset Hillary Clinton. And it happened. Why? He was an outsider. He had charisma. He was a great debater. He had a set of balls and was not going to back down to career swampy, slimy political lifers. Oh, and by the way, Hillary Clinton, she kind of had some baggage. The GOP was weak. Look at what they trotted out after Bush 43. McCain, Romney, Jeb Bush. Now fast forward to 2025 and potentially 2028. Look at the Democrat Party. Kamala Harris, no chance. Mayor Pete, no way. AOC, no shot. Jasmine Crockett, we'll just move past her. Tim Walz, don't get me started. Andy Beshear might be a good choice from Kentucky, but nobody knows who the hell he is. So here's who I think would be your top three choices in a Democratic primary. Gavin Newsom, slim chance. Stephen A. Smith, I believe a viable chance. And the front runner, clearly in my eyes, Pennsylvania's Josh Shapiro. And I thought when Stephen A. Smith was angling to be ESPN's top paid broadcaster in very public negotiations about wanting $20 million a year, that politics was a leverage ploy versus his employer to secure the bag. Now it appears it wasn't. He's been all over the place doing political news hits on every network and dedicates a lot of his YouTube show to political and social commentary. In a recent interview with Barrett Media, he said, quote, "It's time to stop messing around. Life is great, especially at ESPN Disney. I hate the thought of being a politician, but I'm sick of this mess. I am officially leaving all doors open." Now, I've said it on this show before. I'll say it again. I think Stephen A. Smith is a top-notch grifter. He's good at debating. The stage doesn't scare him. And I'll tell you this much. If he runs as a liberal, he'll be in the mix. If he runs as a moderate or centrist, which he claims to be, I think he has a real chance. He knows progressive, woke nonsense is a loser. And I'm not alone in thinking that he has a valid shot. Here's Jason Whitlock of Glenn Beck's The Blaze breaking it down. Listen and watch.
What Stephen A. Smith is doing, and people are going to take Stephen A. Smith seriously as a presidential candidate, and he may win the Democratic nomination, and he may win the presidency. Because we haven't fixed what's wrong with America. Our eyes are open, and many of us are demanding change, but the change hasn't happened yet. And I'm not sure if it's going to happen. And for Stephen A. Smith to be running out there and admitting, yeah, I think I want to run for president, is an indication that the people controlling him say, no, there's no real change. We'll be back to business. And people are like, how's it? Kamala Harris got away with it. She, an illegitimate nominee for the Democratic Party. They run out Biden, install her. She never has to compete in the primary. She never has to earn the right to be the Democratic nominee. She never had to answer any real questions. She never had to prove any level of competency. And they ran her for president. And yes, Trump won all the swing states, but she came within 4 or 5 million votes of beating him in the popular vote. And if they were able to cheat just a little bit better, she would have won the presidency. If they feel like, man, we got Kamala Harris this close, we got Joe Biden across the finish line, Stephen A., that's easy work.
That's coming from Jason Whitlock, who hates Stephen A. Smith, and Jason Whitlock is a conservative. You better not sleep on Stephen A. Smith. And the black vote that jumped up a bit for Trump in 2024 could easily go the other way in 2028. Let's hear from Stephen A. Smith himself right now on News Nation. Listen and watch.
The last few weeks, I've had no choice but to get a bit more serious about it. I've been approached by people on Capitol Hill. I've been approached by people who are elected officials in office, whether it's governors or mayors or what have you, and people have legitimately and seriously asked me about that. I have no desire to be a politician. My life is pretty well. But I've decided I'm no longer going to close that door. I'm going to keep my options open. I'm going to entertain the possibility. And if it comes in 2020, late 2026, 2027, where I look at this country and I think it's an absolute mess and there's legitimate reason to believe, whether it's via exploratory committees or anything else, that I indeed would have a legitimate shot to win the presidency of the United States, I am not going to rule it out, and I'm not playing. I just think that it's a mess right now. I'm not scared. There's a lot that I have to learn. I am no aficionado, make no mistake about it. But damn it, let me hunker down for 2 or 3 months. I'll know the issues. And once that happens, then imagining me on a debate stage with these people, these politicians, this is what I do for a living. And if for no other reason than to stand on the debate stage with tens of millions of people watching, where I get to sit back and talk about what you've been doing as politicians to literally dissipate and disintegrate the quality of America before our very eyes because of your own selfishness. Me having an opportunity to do that, that is what I mean when I say I will eat them alive. I am not a politician. I don't have a political record for them to lean on. They all do. Which means I get to look at your record and what you've done and challenge whether you can legitimately say, not just with the cameras rolling, but in front of my face, that you actually operated on behalf of what was in the best interest of all of America. Who's going to pull that off in front of my face? Good luck with that. I wish they would.
Stephen A. Smith on News Nation sounds a lot like somebody from 2012, 13, 14, 15 that grew sick of the Republican Party, had a big ego, was a great speaker, saw weakness within a party, saw an open opportunity to elevate his platform. I can't seem to put my finger on who that is. Oh, that's right. Donald J. Trump. But Nick, it won't happen. He's a sports guy. Okay. Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane from the WWE. He's now the mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. Clay Travis, Sid Rosenberg, myself, others, left sports media for this platform. Don't think an outsider can't crash the party and have success. Donald Trump proved that. I would not rule out Stephen A. Smith with a very weak, identity politic-laden Democrat Party. But we'll worry about that in 2026 and 2027. In the meantime, let's get everything finalized with the SAVE Act and that big, beautiful bill. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by First Bank. If you're ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner, well, then you can count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help grow your business. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 855-839-1210. Come back, get everybody's thoughts on that. If you want to jump in, you can fire away on social media at 1210WPHT and, of course, in the YouTube chat. And then yesterday, two big decisions and one big unearthing with Social Security, with Doge, as well as a Supreme Court ruling with that MS-13 member. We're going to hit on those stories as we continue. It's Kale & Company, Anna in for Dawn, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPH.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Thoughts, observations, any takeaways
that you want to delve into? So this whole argument for voter suppression, insofar as you having ID or needing ID is somehow voter suppression, I understand that the objective, it seems, is to swing the swing states. Like the long-term objective is to swing the swing states to create somewhat of a uniparty state. And by state, I mean country,
yep,
right?
All blue.
Right. But the messaging there, and walk me through this, because I feel like maybe I'm missing something. But if you say that having ID or requiring ID is somehow voter suppression, what's the underlying message there? Is it saying that black and brown people can't figure it out? Because that sounds pretty racist. Or that they can't afford ID? Assuming that also seems kind of racist.
It's as obnoxious of a statement to make as when Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, just last year tried to argue that there are African-American kids that don't know what a computer is. Like what? It's 2024,
right?
And black children don't know what computers are,
right?
If a Republican had said that, if Trump would have said that, Al Green would try to draft more articles of impeachment against him.
Right.
Yet Kathy Hochul, and this is what I think the Democrats do, is they try to tell certain marginalized communities that, no, you need to be dependent on us, because if you don't vote for us, nobody else will do anything for you. Yet, you ever notice how Democrats only pander to marginalized communities every election cycle?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Voter ID? I've never heard of a person that couldn't find a way to get ID if they needed it for something.
And then, like, that guy, I forget his name, but he was like, why are we protecting beer more than ballots?
Right.
Like, no one is complaining that, you know, you walk into a club, everyone needs to show ID,
mm-hmm.
whether it's fake or not, whatever, but yep. you need to show some form of identification. No one right. has an issue with that. And then Sunny, is it Hostin?
Yep.
The View chick? I mean, the most sexist thing where she's like, these married women...
Mm-hmm.
Like, either can't figure it out, or they, their birth certificate doesn't match their ID. I was really not following her logic too much, but it just seems like...
Well, most of America usually doesn't.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, it seems like those are the most racist and sexist, takes to have on this, so,
yeah.
I don't know, that's kind of where I landed.
Well, think about this, too, with voter ID, and how this is just a basic, you know, should be a logical, requirement. I bring up the story all the time when we talk about ID. When my mother-in-law came down to Nashville to visit my wife and kids, we would go out to restaurants and stuff like that, and she would get carded for a vodka cranberry. My mother-in-law
yeah.
is 63 years old, right? I mean, it's the law, the restaurants, the bartenders, the hostesses, they're under the camera, they're under surveillance. You have to show it, but I mean, and my mother-in-law, like, she understands it because she works in the food and concession business as a small business owner. She gets it, but it's aggravating, it's annoying, and it's common sense. Do I not look like I'm above, you know, the age of 21?
Right, right.
Really? So you flip it back around to the whole ID requirement, and it's just absurd. So yeah, they're going to continue on with that grift. And we laid it out on this show 2 years ago during the primaries in 2022. I mean, it was easier to vote in the state of Georgia, where they claim voter suppression,
mm-hmm.
where the left tries to say these are Jim Crow 2.0 laws, right? Joe Biden said that. It's actually more difficult to vote in the state of New York, which is a blue state. And yet there's this narrative that Republicans are trying to suppress voting. And then on
By
the other side,
ID.
Right. But on the other side, the Democrats are trying to import millions of voters.
Right.
Which one seems a little bit more plausible? And we've laid out the numbers for the swing states. You brought that up.
Yeah.
All seven swing states look like they were well on their way to going blue, and Trump still somehow swept all seven of them.
He did.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. The Stephen A. Smith thing. I wanted to just mention this. I've got a couple of numbers here. So according to McLaughlin, the 2028 Democrat primary poll, Kamala Harris, still the runaway favorite. She got 33% of the vote. Pete Buttigieg, 9%. Gavin Newsom, 7%. AOC, 6%. Josh Shapiro, 3%, which is way off base. Tim Walz, 3%. Stephen A. Smith, 2%. Do you think... Oh, and by the way, I've got another poll here. We haven't done polls in a long time. I kind of miss polls, even though we're still a couple of years away. I love polls. I love anytime you can quantify something. I'm a numbers guy.
The fact that you're bringing up this grifter just makes my skin crawl.
I'll be done in 9 seconds, I promise.
Thank you.
Per Overton, they give J.D. Vance a 9% lead over Stephen A. Smith in a 2028 hypothetical. J.D. Vance, 43%. Stephen A. Smith, 34%. I'm just saying, I think he has a chance. I would put Shapiro as like a 3-1 favorite over Stephen A. Smith. But to discount, I'll put it this way. Stephen A. Smith has a better chance than Michelle Obama ever did. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but you said Kamala Harris was number one in that poll with like a 48%.
33%. Which I love.
Yeah. Do it again.
Please,
try it again.
As the kiddies say, run it back.
Yeah.
Don't change anything.
Exactly.
Give me Kamala and Tim Walz for a year and a half on the campaign trail.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's get to this story. We got this. I think this was late in the evening last night or early this morning. The Supreme Court, this is from the AP, says that the Trump administration must work to bring back the mistakenly deported Maryland man. And I just want to give you about four or five highlights and some facts. And this, to me, should be a very simple story to process and a simple story to rule on. So the administration claims that Abrego Garcia is a member of the MS-13 gang. though he's never been charged with or convicted of a crime. This is the guy from Maryland that was mistakenly shipped back to El Salvador.
That everybody's saying is a father and a...
Yeah, yes, family man.
Family man.
He's a good guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Both those things, right? A gangbanger and a dad.
Right.
most are.
Right.
Most are. Yeah. His attorney said there's no evidence that he was in MS-13. Okay. And there's obviously conflicting there reports between what the administration thinks versus the defense attorney. The administration, the Trump administration, has conceded that it made a mistake in sending him back to El Salvador, but argued it could no longer do anything about it. Which is kind of funny.
Well, actually, the lawyer or the person in the administration that argued that, I think they let go, right? They
yes, fired that. Yes, person. The lady under Bondi in the DOJ. Yes, that was kind of a forgotten story this week in the news cycle.
Yep.
So he had a permit from Homeland Security to legally work, keyword, legally work in the U.S.
Okay.
He was a sheet metal apprentice pursuing a journeyman license, his attorney said. His wife is a U.S. citizen. Now, here's the thing. He is, according to the administration, an MS-13 member. And I asked Anna this before the show, and I'm pretty sure this is fact. MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, by this administration, have officially been deemed terrorist organizations.
Yeah.
So SCOTUS, at the end of the day, ruled against the administration. Trump had a couple of good victories the last handful of days with SCOTUS, 5-4, 6-3, 7-2. Now SCOTUS says, nope, you have to return him. You made a mistake. If they have deemed this to be an official terrorist organization, and I don't know the answers to this. I guess you have to be a real competent attorney or a Supreme Court justice. Why would they allow him to be brought back into the United States after the fact that MS-13 and Tren de Aragua are basically on the same par with Al-Qaeda, ISIS? They're a terrorist organization. Should not be in this country at all. And, look, I guess it comes down to, well, he either is or he isn't.
Right, that's the fact on the table, yeah.
Right? But it seems to me, if in fact he is, the administration could be wrong in accidentally shipping him back, but they could be right in identifying him as a gang member. I don't want MS-13 in this country. So I don't know why SCOTUS would rule against that. And what happens now when he does come back? Do they keep him under surveillance? Are they going to monitor him?
There's something weird about this whole story because, and by the way, the Supreme Court has given the Trump administration until 9:30 this morning to come up with how they're bringing this guy back.
What, do you fly a plane? Do you meet halfway? What do you do?
There's something strange about this story. Like, I'm wondering if this guy was working undercover or something. Like, maybe he was a gang member and was working undercover because they said he's in danger in these in this El Salvador prison, right?
I would think everybody is in that.
Oh,
joint.
You think he's a fed?
I have no idea.
I'm just a snitch.
I'm just speculating how they can be so wrong with this. Like, maybe at one time he was, and he was kind of working undercover to help the feds.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yes, and he kind of got swept up in this thing because they thought he was a member of this group because he was posing as one.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, but was he here legally?
No, he had a work license. He was illegally acknowledged by Homeland Security,
and he's married to an American,
and he's married to his wife's a citizen.
Yeah,
yeah.
So is that? So are you here legally then?
No, he's here. He is here technically legally. I don't think he's illegal. He's legal yet not a citizen. Like, it's kind of in that limbo stage.
Yeah, you're a legal resident.
Right.
That's fine. But the issue is he or is he not a part of MS-13?
Right. That's ultimately the conversation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it's ever been proven one way or the other.
Conflicting reports.
Bryn Mawr Builders says this guy had protected status from 2019. He can be deported to any country except El Salvador. That's what the order from 2019 says.
Well, if that's true, then ship him somewhere else.
That's what I'm saying. There's so much around this that seems to me like this guy was working for the feds or something. Because
that's an interesting theory.
Why would he be able to be shipped anywhere but El Salvador unless he was working against the El Salvadorian government?
Working for the feds as a part of this administration or the prior administration?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure. And By the way, it's just a speculation. I have nothing to prove that, but I'm just speculating because that's what we do here.
That's what we do. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And then yesterday, how about this? This is going to make your head explode because it actually made Elon Musk's head explode. He had to read this story in the reports multiple times once his Doge staff unearthed this. They reveal bizarre findings of unemployment insurance claims, and apparently this is next-level crazy. So the Department of Government Efficiency on X shared eyebrow-raising findings from a survey of unemployment. And if anybody's ever worked in radio, they know what unemployment is like. Trust me. I've done it multiple times. I'll probably do it again, too. The Doge post states that they found with the survey where there were over 24,000 people that are over 115 years old that claimed $59 million in unemployment benefits. 28,000 people between the ages of 1 and 5 years old that claimed $254 million in unemployment benefits. And 9,700 people with birth dates over 15 years into the future.
Ah.
Unborn babies that claimed $69 million. Nice. In benefits. If my daughters at 10 could claim unemployment, I would follow through with that and line our pockets a little bit.
Yeah.
This is startling. Again, I think some of the Medicare, Medicaid checks that were being cut, Social Security checks that were being cut. Remember about a month ago, Doge was like, yeah, we found people 140 to 149 years old that were legally dead. I think some of that was embellished. I don't know that that was all authentic. I think a lot of it probably was, but then they throw in some icing around the cake. But how about, this is the most crazy part to me. People that are not even born yet are signed up for unemployment. Who's cashing these checks?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
What bank accounts are receiving these direct deposits?
Yeah.
Like, that is startling. And if you think that this is, well, I always thought that professional athletes, for the most part, were the worst when it comes to blowing money. Like, I've never felt bad for a pro athlete that made $150 million in his career and now is completely poor because they have terrible money management skills. I thought they were the worst on the planet until I realized our federal government is disgraceful with money.
It's crazy because this whole country was built on checks and balances, but when it comes to power, not when it comes to spending. And so no one has been keeping track of what the government is doing with this money and where it's going. And it's absolutely unbelievable that unborn babies that don't even exist yet are collecting dollars.
There are people that aren't even born that already have a bigger net worth than I do.
By the way,
outrageous.
Elon Musk during the cabinet meeting spoke about a little bit of this.
Oh, we have it
yesterday. So roll this film.
Thanks to your fantastic leadership, this amazing.
Can we just stop it for a second?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Just the ass-kissing nature of these cabinet meetings. I like the cabinet meetings. I want more of these. I think every administration should do it. Everybody get around and say, all right, Jimmy, what'd you do this week? All right, come on.
You like the transparency?
I like the transparency. We're paying for this. I want to know what these MFers are up to. Right. But the nature of the butt-kissing that goes on, like, with your fantastic leadership.
I know.
Oh, sir.
I know.
Has there been a man that has walked on water
It's a big circle jerk.
It's just a giant, yes. It's just a giant that. All right. Start it over. Sorry.
Excuse my mind.
Thanks to your fantastic leadership, this amazing cabinet, and the very talented Doge team, I'm excited to announce that we anticipate savings in FY26 from reduction of waste and fraud by $150 billion. And and some of it is just absurd. Like, people getting unemployment insurance who haven't been born yet. I mean, I think anyone can appreciate whether... I mean, come on. That's just crazy. Some of these things, if people ask me, like, well, how are you going to find waste and fraud in the government? I'm like, well, actually just go in any direction. That's how you find it. It's very common. it's as the military would say, target-rich environment. So I think we're doing a lot of good and an excellent collaboration with Cabinet to achieve these savings. And it will actually result in better services for the American people. And then we're going to be spending their tax dollars in a way that is sensible and fair and good.
And your people are fantastic. In fact, hopefully they'll stay around for the long haul. We'd like to keep as many as we can. They're great, smart, sharp, right? Finding things that nobody would have thought of. Very computer savvy.
There you go, Elon Musk showing a little personality. And I think this is what drives the swamp nuts, is because the swamp is the playground for these career political hacks that go in with $10, walk out with a net worth of $183 million, and they're pissed that the billionaire guy, the wealthiest guy on the planet, is coming in and putting an end
to their
monopoly money Ponzi schemes.
It's fun to see.
It is. It really is. And I love every bit of it. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. What do we think about finally ending the charade of daylight savings time? Bipartisan support. We'll talk about it next here on Kale & Company. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. Because the truth is, they don't make furniture like they used to, right? You want to go back to the glory days when all of these products in America were great? Well, Bucks County Estate Traders for furnishing your home. That's a start. If you're tired of cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom, over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, the kind of quality craftsmanship that has withstood the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, maybe you're looking for that classic look in your home, modern, rustic, traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's home. Whether you're furnishing your living or dining room, a home office, or even that man cave. Oh, yeah, the man cave at the Kale household's coming. Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece comes with a QR code. Pull out your phone, take that picture, and it gives you details instantly. And their expert staff, best in the business. No pushy salespeople. Straight shooters who know their stuff. Check out their website. You can call ahead, and they'll have the pieces you want ready to show you on the same day. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Just to wrap up the hour, I'm getting a lot of tweets about the, and I knew this would be the case, and that's why I wanted to give that opinion. Jay says the Democrat Party runs like the mafia. No way that they would let Stephen A. Smith be the nominee.
Agreed.
The bosses control the primaries. The Republican Party is run by the people. Look, I still believe Shapiro's the favorite. But I think Stephen A. would destroy a lot of these people on the debate stage. LJ Kolodziejewski says, do you actually believe the elites of the world are actually going to allow the people to choose their own president? Like, well, wait a minute. The elites of the world didn't want Donald Trump in office anymore. Hell, he got shot, and he still won, and won the popular vote, won all seven swing states. So, you and like, I trust me, I'm with you. The elites, they want what they want, and they do everything they can to get it. But sometimes, you know, things happen.
You're like, wow, democracy might work still. Still be a thing.
Exactly right. And last time I checked, to this point in time, Kamala Harris has still never won a Democrat primary. She's been in two. And, she was in one. Should have been in a second one, but she was just anointed. 855-839-1210. All right. News to kick off the second hour. We've got some daylight savings time stories to get to. And then before Tony Bruno gets here, we got to have this conversation. I can't believe I witnessed this yesterday.
Uh-oh.
A college golfer from Arizona State, so still technically an amateur, was playing in the Masters, and he decided, I can't hold it any longer.
When you have to go, you have to go.
I get that.
I guess when nature calls, nature calls. But I thought there was decorum at Augusta National. Maybe I can get on there eventually one day. Back after this. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.